Welcome back to the Just Act podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Fiorelli, your host and guide on this journey towards psychological flexibility and personal transformation. If you're new to the podcast, Just Act is all about acceptance and commitment therapy, or ACT, and how you can help clarify and transform different aspects of your daily life. As a behavior analyst, trauma-informed practitioner, yoga teacher, and lifelong learner, I'm excited to share the insights and techniques that have helped me and countless others find greater meaning, purpose, and happiness. Whether you're a seeker of information, a seeker of self-reflection, or a seeker of creating positive change for yourself, this podcast is for you. You can always join me for workshops, online courses, and personalized coaching to deepen your practice and accelerate your growth. Visit my website to learn more and sign up today. As always, I want to emphasize that the information shared here is not a substitute for mental health services and support. Instead, each episode is my hope to provide a different perspective in looking at daily challenges, struggles, and growth opportunities. By cultivating psychological flexibility, we can learn to make decisions based on the present moment, our values, and the willingness to hold space for uncomfortable feelings along the way. So whether you're just getting started or continuing on your ACT journey, thank you for joining me on this path towards greater well-being and fulfillment. Let's Just ACT. Welcome back to the Just ACT podcast. As a reminder, this episode is a part two to last week's episode on my personal journey of shifting self-concepts. That episode shared my journey of self-concept through the loss of my dog, Milo. Today's episode will focus on the second label that was changed and challenged in 2023. And honestly, I am very much still working through this. And that label was being a partner, a girlfriend, a friend, a confidant, and a witness to another person intimately. Late in the year, my almost 3.5 year relationship ended. So for this episode, I'm going to integrate key aspects of self-identity within relationships, what happens when the relationship breaks, and weave my own shifting self-concept experience throughout. To start, research on the sense of self within relationships is a very rich area of study within psychology. Scholars have investigated how individuals perceive themselves and maintain their identity while navigating various types of relationships. There are two key themes and findings from this area of research, which one, self-expansion theory, and two, identity negotiation. We'll go through each individually. One, self-expansion theory, introduced by Arthur Aaron, posits that individuals seek to expand their self-concept by including aspects of their partner's identity and experiences, engaging in shared activities, exploring new interests together, and experiencing novel or challenging situations can contribute to self-expansion within relationships. According to the theory, individuals experience a sense of excitement and growth when they engage in these novel or challenging experiences with a partner. This expansion of one's identity can contribute to relationship satisfaction and a deeper sense of connection. Self-expansion involves not only engaging in activities together, but also incorporating aspects of your partner's perspective, values, and interests into your own identity. This process can lead to a more enriched and multifaceted sense of self. Research suggests that couples who actively seek out opportunities for self-expansion tend to report higher levels of relationship satisfaction and commitment. The shared experiences and sense of growth contribute to the overall well-being of the relationship. From my own experience, I found myself growing and learning more about my partner's core beliefs, as we all hope to do in relationships. For us, we held different religious and spiritual beliefs. For me, I wanted to understand his core beliefs, how these beliefs meshed or balked against mine, how they highlighted new perspectives, and to move towards increased connection to our relationship. The exploration and growth activities I sought out may not have benefited my relationship in the way I had hoped. However, it benefited me in my experiences outside the relationship. Those differences that sometimes turned into shared conversations and activities also turned into new perspectives I could take into my workplace and how I support others. It led me to try and ask more questions, to seek understanding, reflect more on my own beliefs, and open up some of my beliefs in ways that had maybe been a touch inflexible at previous times. Now, here, this example of religious and spiritual differences might be a greater area of self-expansion, say, than experiencing fun, novel ways to integrate interest and play with each other. And I say play because so rarely as adults do we play to be silly, play to be creative, and use our imagination. So by learning each other's ways to play, we expanded how we could play and connect with each other in different levels of intimacy. By seeking to incorporate or learn about his values and interests, it supported an expansion of my own understanding of myself. It helped provide some clarity of where I end and where he began in the relationship and where we still had other areas of growth opportunities. Research on identity negotiation in relationships examines how individuals reconcile their own identities within the expectations and norms of their relational context. So every relationship fear is different. That's the context. This process involves balancing autonomy and interdependence, managing conflicts between personal values and relational demands, and adapting to changing roles and responsibilities within context of relationships. So individuals navigate a delicate balance between maintaining their autonomy and fostering interdependence within relationships. This involves asserting one's own needs, values, and boundaries while also considering the needs and perspective of the partner. Life transitions such as marriage, parenthood, career changes, relocation, these often prompt individuals to renegotiate their identities within the context of their relationships. Managing these transitions involves adapting to new roles and responsibilities while preserving a sense of continuity in one's identity. Conflicts within relationships can provide opportunities for identity negotiation and growth. Resolving conflicts requires effective communication, empathy, and compromise, allowing individuals to assert their needs while also validating the experiences and perspectives of their partners. It's very easy to get wrapped up and lost in another person, especially if that self-expansion aspect is too heavily focused on your partner without that reflection of what's mine, what's theirs, and what's ours in the relationship. This is sometimes maybe where balancing autonomy and interdependence can be a challenge for some individuals. For myself, before getting into this past relationship, I made a commitment to myself to show up completely as myself, ask for and say what I need, and incorporate my values into daily relationship actions more than I had done so in previous relationships as a way to stay connected to me and the relationship as separate entities. Personally, I think I nailed this part. If it feels helpful to think about, there's three entities in a relationship: you, your partner, and the relationship itself. So being able to balance between those three entities can be a way to support identity negotiation. In the context of this past relationship, there were many transitions: physical transitions, emotional transitions, moments of long distance, transitions between relationship milestones, so dating to exclusive, to living together, to living apart. And each of these transitions shakes up those roles and responsibilities. It could be in small and large ways. And these transitions can show up as ruptures in the relationship, growth opportunities, or both, depending on the partners involved. This makes me think of that saying, it's not about the dishes. It's what's underneath the dishes in the sink. It's the changing role expectations. It's what the dishes represent. So when we moved in together, the dishes represented trying to balance autonomy and interdependence with each other, which led to both conflict and resolution. I'd like to think that about 90% of our conflict led to a greater sense of connection once we got through that rupture and on to the repairing stage. And yes, sometimes that balance and management of role transition sometimes felt like three steps forward, two steps back, but that dance was done together. Through those aspects of identity negotiation, I learned how to see beneath the surface of the fight, to dig a little deeper and understand what I might be really asking for. So my value, my needs, what's showing up for me, how I might act on it differently, and then also having that empathy and perspective towards my partner and what values, needs, beliefs might be showing up for him. Self-expansion theory and identity negotiation highlight the dynamic nature of individual sense of self within the context of relationships. These processes involve mutual exploration, adaptation, and negotiation, ultimately contributing to the development of a shared identity and a deeper sense of connection between partners. So, what happens when the relationship breaks? Following a relationship break, an individual's self-concept undergoes significant shifts as they navigate the emotional aftermath and redefine their identity outside the relationship. Here's a few ways how a breakup can impact one's idea of their own self-concept. Loss of identity. In many relationships, individuals integrate aspects of their partner's identity into their own, so that self-expansion theory we just talked about, forming that shared identity as a couple. A breakup can disrupt this integration, leading to feelings of loss and confusion as individuals grapple with the dissolution of the relationship and the loss of a significant aspect of their identity. This can look like a loss of shared activities and interests. So, for example, maybe you and a partner were avid hikers and enjoyed exploring nature together. You spent weekends hiking trails, camping, discovering new outdoor destinations. However, after your breakup, you found it difficult to engage in these activities alone. This kind of once shared passion for hiking now feels like a reminder of what you might have lost, leading to a sense of emptiness and disconnection from activities that were once a source of joy and shared experiences. This also can show up in the shift of social roles and responsibilities. For example, there's a couple that's been together for years, and during that time, they had developed distinct roles and responsibilities within their relationship. One partner took care of household repairs and finances, while the other managed social engagement and family events. However, after the breakup, both partners struggled to redefine their individual roles and adjust to the absence of their partner's contribution. Partner A might have felt overwhelmed by the sudden increase of responsibilities, while partner B felt isolated without the social support and companionship they'd relied on. And another area is through emotional intimacy and attachment. So an example of this might be a couple who has built a deep emotional connection over the years, sharing hopes, fears, dreams with each other. They'd become each other's primary source of emotional support and comfort. However, after the breakup, partner A found it challenging to confide in others and open up about his emotions. He missed the intimacy and understanding he had shared with partner B and struggled to find somebody who could fill the void. Partner B felt a sense of loss and loneliness, missing the emotional bond that they had cultivated and the security of knowing that she had somebody to turn to in times of needs. In each of these examples, the loss of identity is evident as the individuals grapple with the dissolution of the relationship and the disruption of the shared identity they had formed as a couple. This loss can trigger feelings of grief, confusion, and a sense of disorientation as individuals navigate the process of rediscovering themselves and rebuilding their lives independently. Individuals may experience a sense of fragmentation or disintegration of their identity as they navigate the transition from being part of a couple to being single. The loss of the shared activities, the social roles, the emotional bonds can leave somebody feeling adrift and unsure of who they are outside the relationship. Breakups often prompt individuals to reevaluate their sense of self and identity. They may question who they are outside the relationship, as well as their goals, values, aspirations. And the process of identity reevaluation can be challenging and disorienting as individuals strive to redefine themselves in the absence of the relationship. This might look like questioning core beliefs and values. So following the breakup, individuals may question their core beliefs, values, assumptions about themselves and their relationship. They may reassess their priorities in life, goals and aspirations, seeking clarity and meaning in the aftermath of the breakup. This also can look like exploring personal identity. So breakups provide individuals with an opportunity to explore and rediscover aspects of their personal identity that may have been overshadowed or neglected during the relationship. This can involve reconnecting with old hobbies, pursuing new interests, or investing in personal growth and self-improvement. And this reevaluation can also look like identity reconstruction. The process of reevaluating self-identity following the breakup often involves this period of introspection, self-reflection, and self-discovery. Individuals may experiment with new roles, identities, and self-expression as they strive to redefine themselves in the absence of the relationship. This is an area that I felt and still feel shocked by from time to time. I feel like you don't get to truly see how someone impacted your life, shaped these little pieces or big pieces of who you are until they're gone from your world. It's those moments I come across things that make me think like, is this a piece of me or him kind of seeking this out right now? Like when I pick certain movies, meals to cook, books to read or listen to, leisure activities, I go through some I am statements that might operate as those labels that we talked about in the last two episodes. This for me sounds like I'm a person who likes superhero movies, and I had more interest in them in this relationship than I did previously. Am I too invested in these movies and stories now? Is it something that's still mine? Has the us taken over it, or did the us take over it? I'm a person that now likes to build Lego sets, and that 100% came from his interest. Should I still like this activity? Should I give it up? Will it just be a reminder of us? Is it something I truly love for myself? I'm a person that believes in a higher power, and our conversations surrounded the concept of a higher power and the church. So I find myself going, am I more curious about that now for him? Is that curiosity for me? Am I trying to prove something, worthiness, who knows? It's sometimes this kind of trying on of statements that really lead to those questions of, is this me? Is this my partner? Am I holding on? Or have I evolved and integrated this into me? Do I want to keep this for myself? The other aspects of the self-concept or identity kind of crisis I've grappled with recently is the stories I tell myself about what it means for my life at this moment. I am an almost 40-year-old woman. The story of being almost 40 in a relationship is vastly different from the self-story I catch myself telling myself about being 40 and no longer in a relationship. So to quote one of my favorite movies and books, Pride and Prejudice, I'm 27 years old, I have no money, no prospects, I'm already a burden to my parents, and I'm frightened. So don't you judge me, Lizzie. Hopefully you can chuckle along with that. That story turns into, I'm almost 40 years old, a spinster, I'm out of time for the things I want in life, so what's the point of trying for more, for trying again? And this story is absolutely rooted in judgment from society about what women should be, at what time in our life we should be doing X, Y, Z. And on an intellectual level, I know this. And that story can still be really, really loud in my head. When it's loud, I become psychologically inflexible. I mope, I sit around fuzzy blankets, I cry, I drink milkshakes, I binge watch a show that makes me feel comforted. I pull back from spending time with those I know and love and those who support me. I feel lonely navigating my new day-to-day without this person, without feeling like I have the confidant that I once had. When the story is quiet and I can utilize my tools, my noticing skills, it is a story in my head. I see myself as the author with the pen that can change the story, acknowledge and write the story without committing to it being real, and move on with my day. AKA, I'm in a space of more psychological flexibility. And when I'm in psychological flexibility, it allows me to explore and reconstruct the story of the self. I'm able to put a perspective on it. I'm able to see myself as a suffering human today, but not forever. To acknowledge that today's muck can be tomorrow's blooming lotus. And that is also leaning into another ACT core process of acceptance. Acceptance can be an incredibly hard thing to move towards or through. So for me, my current acceptance practice is a nightly prayer. There are moments when I notice this like intense surge of hope for a different ending of what it is today. And that's when I lean into this practice. I gently say to myself and to the listening universe, if hope should remain, let it stay. If hope is not serving me, I gently ask you to take it away. I am releasing control of it to you. As we've outlined, a breakup can prompt individuals to confront questions of identity, meaning, and self-definition as they navigate the emotional and psychological aftermath of a relationship's end. While the process of reevaluating self-identity can be challenging and disorienting, it also provides opportunities for growth, self-discovery, and the cultivation of a more authentic and empowered sense of self. Here are some reflective questions to consider if you're post-breakup and recreating your world. 1, identity exploration. How has my sense of self changed since the breakup? What aspects of my identity feel strongest and most stable right now? Are there parts of myself that I neglected or suppressed during the relationship? What new aspects of myself have I discovered or rediscovered since the breakup? Area number 2 to reflect on, just the relationship itself. So reflection on the relationship. What lessons have I learned from the relationship and its end? How did my sense of self evolve within the context of the relationship? Are there any patterns or dynamics from the relationship that I want to avoid in future relationships? What strengths and vulnerabilities did the relationship reveal about me? And another area of reflection might be self-compassion and acceptance. So how can I practice self-compassion and kindness towards myself during this time? What self-care activities nurture my emotional well-being and sense of self-worth? Can I accept myself, flaws and all, as I navigate the ups and downs of post-breakup recovery? And what affirmations, mantras, or prayers can I use to remind myself of my inherent worthiness and resilience? These reflective questions can serve as a starting point for individuals to engage in introspection, self-discovery, and healing as they navigate the complexities of self-concept following a breakup. Taking the time to explore these questions with curiosity and compassion can facilitate the process of post-breakup recovery and foster a deeper understanding of oneself. Amidst the sadness, there's also a glimmer of hope, a recognition that change, however daunting, is a catalyst for growth and renewal. The journey of self-discovery is not always linear, and it's okay to feel a sense of loss as we shed old layers of ourself to make way for new. Thank you for joining me on the Just Act podcast. If today's episode struck a chord with you, remember to subscribe, share with a friend, or leave a review. Until next time, stay curious, stay compassionate, and keep exploring the fascinating world within and around you. Remember, even in the face of heartbreak, the journey of self-discovery continues. Take care. That's it for today's episode of the Just Act podcast. I hope you found the discussion helpful and informative. Remember, you can always find the links to any resources or references mentioned in the episode in the show notes. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback about today's episode or any suggestions for future topics you'd like me to cover, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can contact me directly via email at info@bestillbeconnected.com or follow me on Instagram at AshNFIO. Remember, the only way to create lasting change in your life is to take action in the present moment in alignment with your values and your goals. Thank you again for listening to the Just Act podcast, and I look forward to connecting with you in our next episode.